Hello, and welcome to a very special Christmas episode of Iceworld. I'm Nadia Frontier, and I have spent 3 years working across both Rothera Research Station on the West Antarctic Peninsula and King Edward Point Research Station on the sub-Antarctic island of South Georgia. In this podcast, I talk with the people who currently live and work on the frozen continent to uncover what life is really like on those remote research stations. Today, I'm joined by two guests from Halley Research Station, Dan McKenzie, the station leader, and Danny Howarden, the station doctor. Christmas in Antarctica already has the advantage of guaranteed snow. We'll be exploring how they celebrate the festive season thousands of miles from home, the traditions they've created, and what makes an Antarctic Christmas so unique. But first, let's start with some introductions. Danny, welcome to the podcast. How did you come about working with the British Antarctic Survey?
I've always loved travelling. I've travelled quite extensively, pretty much every continent except this one until now. And then I've been really interested in sort of medicine and in extreme environments. When I heard about this opportunity to come down here, I absolutely jumped at it. It sounded right up my street, and it was something, you know, gives me a chance to sort of use my skills and experience in a completely different environment. A thing that's facilitated me being here, we have a joint military and BASMU, so that's the British Antarctic Survey Medical Unit fellowship available. So that means that we send a doctor down to Halley every year, and we work together just sort of learning from each other and how we can best provide healthcare in remote environments.
Amazing, Danny. So in addition to traversing all seven continents now, is it also that you wanted to go into space? Was that something on your agenda potentially before coming down to the frozen continent?
Yeah, definitely is a big tick for me. So as I mentioned, very interested in sort of extreme environments. And I think both Antarctica and space have got to be two of the most extreme. Can't lie, I've always wanted to be an astronaut. So this is the absolute next best thing. And to be honest, when I landed, came into land and I saw Halley from the plane, it really did feel like I was landing on the moon. So it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
I really like that comparison, and not to dwell too much on space, but did you do any training towards going to the International Space Station?
So no training, but I did once when the European Space Agency did their recruitment a few years ago. I did apply and just got to see a bit about the process of becoming an astronaut. But yeah, sadly didn't make it all the way, but it was an amazing experience. Halley is an amazing alternative to going to space for sure.
And exactly what does your role on station at Halley involve?
So my role on station, primarily, I'm looking after the health and well-being of all the personnel here so that they can, you know, do their jobs effectively, from the sort of mechanics, the engineers, the scientists, you know, all supporting the science that's done here at Halley. But there's lots of other things as well. So obviously I'm on call for any emergencies. I'm also sort of in charge of all the medical kit and equipment, making sure that's maintained and checked. I also run weekly training as well, medical training for the station, and I was involved in the medical training at the pre-deployment courses as well. So we run a course called CRASH, and this is done at Dartmoor, and it means that there's a few personnel on station that have been trained to a really high level, and I really love that side of my job. I'm really proud of the level that we get, you know, people to. These are sort of chefs and meteorologists and people who've done no medical training, and some that start out quite squeamish or, you know, don't like needles and things like that, and then they come out at the end of it and they're a really high level. So it's you know, it's amazing that we get to do that and sort of share that knowledge.
Dan, are you an advanced first aider? Are you part of this team of emergency responders to support the doctor?
Yeah, I'm not actually. I would like to in the future, but then the thing is, I suppose I sort of organise all the response to it. So for me to do that kind of takes away from my role a little bit. It'd be really great to learn, for sure. It's a really great course, but maybe next year it'd be good to learn. But usually I should be kind of, you know, pulling the strings about where, who's going where, and where people should go off into the field or how they should help, and busy with that kind of thing, you know, so.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely useful to have somebody sort of separate from the medical team that's in that leadership position, you know, because we can get quite sucked into the medical side. So having someone that's keeping that sort of, you know, awareness of what's going on is really, really helpful.
We plan things together, like we'll plan exercises. We've got a really good one on Saturday coming up, actually.
Yeah.
Any spoilers? Exciting one. This won't be released until after Saturday, so.
Yeah, we can give spoilers.
There's going to be potentially a medical incident and a trauma. Yeah, and vehicles might be involved. So we're going to try and test the whole station, you know, the different response teams. I'll stay largely out of it, or more in sort of teaching role. And it'll be my sort of advanced first aiders that will respond. But I have every faith they're going to do really, really well.
So it's not a classic weekend of relaxing then. It's a all station emergency response plan.
We don't do that. We don't do that here.
And Dan, tell us about you. How long have you been working with the British Antarctic Survey? This is not your first rodeo, is it?
It's not, no. And actually, we met several years ago, didn't we, I think? So you came down at the end of my first winter. So that was my sort of second summer season, my second Christmas. I think I've done about five seasons with Bass now and five Christmases. And that's like across three stations as well. And they've all got something like very different about them, to be honest. And I think I've picked up on the lessons I've learned or things that I'd like to improve at other stations and try to bring them into like life here and, you know, festivities here at Halley. So
what stations have you been to?
Yeah, so I started off at Rotherham, did an 18-month stint then, took a bit of a kind of career break and then went to Bird Island as station leader, which is like the opposite of Rotherham, basically. It's just all animals and totally different weather and a tiny little team. And then luckily, right place, right time, and got the Halley job last year. And now this is my second season as Halley station leader, and I'm really glad to be here.
Amazing. And also a great transition because you were a maintenance mechanic.
Yeah, mechanical maintenance technician, but that's just a lie. You are actually a plumber.
So you have transitioned from being into the more technical services roles to now leading that management side. How does it feel leading a team? Because you know what it's like to lead that team because you've actually observed that process during your winter at Rotherham, and now you have the privilege of being able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bit of a background. I used to work at sea as a ship's engineer officer, so I used to lead sort of small teams then and took a small career break from Bass as well, where I was kind of in charge of big groups of people on sort of addiction journeys. So I'm kind of used to that side of things, and it all does apply to what we do here. And I really enjoy the management side of things and certain parts of it especially, you know, the people side especially, the logistics and cargo slightly less. But Christmas is one of my main things. I love to plan Christmas and give people a nice Christmas, you know.
Excellent. And what do we have on the Halley agenda for Christmas this year?
Well, so last year, I'll tell you what we did. So basically, we started the day with like a tea and coffee service from me and the doctor. So it was Andrea last year. During midwinter celebration, the station leader will go up and down the corridors and kind of wake people up and give them their morning drinks. And we had that idea this Christmas, but then we realized that people were actually all lying in and we were just waking everybody up. So we went back into the dining room and just waited for them to come out, basically. And that worked. No complaints. And as soon as they got that, everybody went off on a fun run and then watched some films. The bar was open a little early. We had a great big Christmas dinner. We had people here like diligently working on this great big ice cave out the back of the station. So that was a thing. And then we got in there for Christmas Eve or Christmas night, I think, and everybody got in. There was some music, some nice ambient lighting, and I had some real nice comments. You know, some people were saying it was the best Christmas they'd ever had in Antarctica.
Big claims. Wow. Yeah. I'm excited.
So Danny, how do you feel about living up to this big Christmas expectation this year? Have you also been enlisted into the trolley morning service?
Yes. Yep. One of the first things I think I was told that's one of my roles. So yeah, no, very, very, very excited. You know, I've heard, you know, Dan's clearly very, you know, very excited and it's very important to him that we, and to me, that we have a good Christmas and we make it as nice as it can be for people that are away from, you know, their friends and family. So I think, yeah, when we first met, we talked a little bit about Christmas then actually, and you know, how good it is at Halley and you know, the kind kind of things we do to try and make it a bit special for people. So I'm very excited to sort of get involved.
I suppose in parallel to other stations, because Halley is only a summer station, you don't have Midwinter's Day, which generally seems to be a bit of the bigger event. People are putting a lot of effort into those presents, and maybe more from a Rotherhurst perspective, Christmas is kind of just swept under the carpet a little bit.
Yeah.
But does it feel different at Halley? Is there more of an emphasis? Because that really is of a really busy, intense season. That is the one time where you all break and come together and, you know, have time to make an ice cave. And I remember that picture. A cave is underselling it. It's like a house.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to outdo that this year, but we're going to try. But yeah, I was exactly right. So when I did my first Christmas at Rotherhurst, I was a little bit disappointed because everyone's just working and, you know, planes are flying and people are doing science. And it's kind of swept under the rug a little bit, you know, because you can look forward to Midwinters and it's just like work as usual, basically. So Halley being like a really intense short season, what we try and do is like ring fence a couple of days and say, right, you know, we've got all this hard work before and after. So in those 2 days, it's like, this is our time to kind of get together and appreciate being on base, you know, and it really works. It is like, it's kind of our version of Midwinters. Like we have a secret Santa that I think this year there's about 20.
Yeah, I think about 20 people, you know, about 30. over two thirds yeah. of the station have signed up to Secret Santa. So
yeah,
everyone's working very hard. I'm quite intimidated by the level of Secret Santa that's going around.
Have you both signed up? Are you participants?
So I haven't.
I have.
Danny, how many hours have you put into your gift so far, given that we are today on the 10th of December?
So I may have bitten off more than I can chew. So I'm wary that this is going out before Christmas Day. So I won't say exactly what it is, but I have learned a new skill to make the Secret Santa. And a good few hours is going to need to go into it. So yeah, hopefully it all works out and it's worth the effort. But yeah, hopefully my Secret Santa likes it on the day.
I'm absolutely sure. A homemade gift is so special and really hard to come by nowadays. I mean, in the real world, it's kind of hard to have time to really make individual personalised gifts. I think it's something that's very special to station life. Is this what you expected you'd be doing, Danny? Did you have any expectations of what a Christmas in Antarctica would be like?
Yeah, the level of Secret Santa was a bit of a surprise to me. But yeah, Dan had sort of filled me in about some of the other bits. But I don't know. I think, you know, until I was here, I couldn't really, you know, picture Halley or, you know, how it would feel. And yes, everything I sort of, you know, hoped for.
What's the work schedule at Halley in the summer? Is it is it Sunday off?
Yeah, we try and get Sundays off, depending on work. I mean, we have some things that are so critical that we sometimes do have to work through weekends. So it's full on, you know. A lot of people are working like 7 days a week, to be honest, on and off. You know, we'll get bits of time off and it's full on. So the fact that people find this time to make these incredible gifts. I mean, last year there was like so many amazing things, like all different skill sets and like maps being drawn and this huge great Antarctic crossword that somebody had done, just like perfect design and, you know, woodwork and metalwork. And it's amazing. Like I was very surprised at the standard.
So this year, will there also be a run planned? And please tell me how we are supposed to be running on the Brunt Ice Shelf.
Yeah, so we've got this perimeter, basically. It's about, I think it's seven.
About 7K.
7K. Yeah. So basically, it'll be like one lap. Somebody will doubtless wear the dinosaur costume that is lying around somewhere and finish like way last, like they did last year. But we, it's a really enjoyable thing and people really get involved and it lifts spirits so much, you know. It's that kind of adrenaline boost in the morning and then everybody can just relax afterwards as well. So it's really nice, you know.
And I think I'm right in thinking people could ski or walk it, you know. If
yeah,
they
want to, actually.
Know, just to yeah,
you're
get
right.
everyone involved.
So last year we had, it's a fun run. So it's like any rules, no rules, you know. And it looked a bit like when they were setting off, because there was people that probably never skied before. So it was a bit like Wacky Races. Like people like skiing like crazy techniques and like falling over and then like a dinosaur like overtaking them. And it was really, really surreal to watch it.
We have a run club set up actually on a Sunday morning. People can come in and train for their Christmas Day fun run. But we do try and get out as a bit of a group as well, which is nice. Yeah,
loads of clubs this year. We got, I think, run club, yoga club.
Yeah, there's an art club.
Paint club, yeah.
Yeah. Knit club. Yeah, we've got a few. We're managing to fit some fun into all the work as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've got time to be able to do that. And So running on the snow, is it always guaranteed that you'll be able to have some kind of compacted snow around that flag line area around Halley to get people out?
We actually get the vehicles team to go around in the Piston Bully and groom the perimeter for us, which is fantastic. So when that starts to get a bit soft and a bit lumpy, then they'll just go around it. And it's really, really valuable for morale, you know, so it's a real good way to use that time. And that's how we do it. So it's always pretty much runnable, to be honest, or skiable.
Yeah, we're really grateful to the vehicles team to do that for us because after work, for me, predominantly my work is inside. So I love to, you know, get outside when I can outside of that. So, you know, after work, being able to go for a ski or a run outside is invaluable, really.
Yeah, and you find that the guys doing the perimeter grooming generally aren't the ones running or skiing. So they're just doing it out of the kindness of the hearts, really, so the other team can go ahead and do their hobby, you know, which is really lovely of them. We try our best. We have to be a bit creative at Halley for these kinds of things because, as you know, it's just a big flat white desert, basically. So,
basically. Yeah. And during Christmas, Danny, will you still be on call? Will that change a bit how you celebrate your day?
So I'll have a day off from sort of routine work. I'll still be on call for emergencies. On the whole, I'm hopeful that I can take part in most things. I'll be on call for emergencies.
And Dan, what is on this Christmas dinner plate? Do you give the chefs a day off and take over in the kitchen?
Well, thankfully for everybody else, we don't do that. So what I do is give them the day off on Boxing Day, and then we'll have like a manager's brunch. So like the four or five, probably Danny will be involved in that as well. Just sorry to spring on you. So the managers get together, we make like a brunch at sort of midday, and then we'll eat leftovers from the day before. But the chefs kind of, it's also that kind of their time to shine, really. You know, they get together and make such an incredible meal, and they will. I've got a lot of faith in them. We've got a really good team and really hard working, and just can't wait to see what they come up with, really. So
yeah, our chefs are amazing. So we've got Ash and Katie, and every single meal is they knock it out of the park. So we're very, very lucky. So we're eating very well here. Yeah.
Do you know what's on the menu for Christmas Day? Has that yet been discussed?
Well, we have found a turkey, thankfully. We did a big food move last week and we did find the last Christmas turkey. So that's definitely going on there. I think we could save some potatoes, parsnips, all the sort of usual things you'd expect. We should be able to come up with.
I've seen sprouts. I've seen parsnips.
Yeah. Parsnips. Yeah, I think we're going to be good.
Lots of gravy.
Yeah.
We're northern, so we like gravy.
So Dan, can you explain to me how you might just find a turkey? So what's the food situation at Halley? Didn't relief happen last year? So did you get an influx of new food? And how old is that turkey? How long has it just been sitting in a snow hole?
Every 2 years we get a relief. We're currently working with the Norwegian program. They send the ship to the Norwegian station Troll, and then they come to us afterwards. And every 2 years, we get like a load of frozen food, basically. So the last time we got anything was 2 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, every now and again, we just have to kind of go through the reefers and resort it and take things to the station. It's a bit of a faff. And last week, we kind of took all the food from one, put it in another, and we somehow miraculously found the golden turkey, which we didn't know existed. Oh, it'll be great.
We'll probably have some wildly out-of-date chocolate as well. The chocolate lasts pretty well, but I've seen some. I think the field guides have dug out some Yorkie for me because I mentioned how the Yorkies used to be in ration packs. And I think the expiry date's 2015.
And it's okay?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like wine. It gets better with age. Nadia, you should know this.
I remember those Cadbury's bars, and they were from like 2001, and they're amazing. They actually taste so good.
I'm pretty sure I've seen 90s and 80s vintage and Fuchs before.
Yeah, I think if we do find one, then we'll have people younger on the chocolate bar be older than some of the people on the station.
So, Danny, what will this exchanging of gifts be like? Who's organising the get together, and will it be a classic secret Santa that someone will give a person that they made their gift for, and then it will kind of go in a sequence?
I don't know. What did you do last year?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as Midwinter. So everybody draws names out of a hat, choose a random person, and then I just think that one by one, each present is sort of given to the person. I think we just put them on the table.
Oh, okay. And, like, so they the label. Open it individually. Yeah. Well, so that's a lot of pressure then, because everyone's going to watch
your video first
and see their reaction.
Seeing as it's only, what, 2 weeks away from Christmas, have you started decorating the station? And has anybody taken a leadership role in organising that?
I have made a bit of a start, as you can see behind us. It's a little bit gone up today. But the big time we're going to use is the scrub out this Friday, yeah. I think. We're going to get all the decorations up this Friday and then, yeah, do it as a bit of a team effort. And that'd be a really nice sort of thing to do as well.
I can guarantee as well, the moment decorations go up, the Christmas tunes will be coming on. So that's why I wanted to kind of delay it a little bit.
And what about a Christmas tree? Obviously, we don't have any trees in Antarctica. So how does that work?
Yeah, we've got things that I think there might be three Christmas trees I've found of varying types and size and shapes. And so we can we'll definitely find somewhere to put those three.
We had one ready for this podcast, but it deflated.
It was an inflatable one and it was quite noisy with the fan. So
and Dan, what happens to the station? Does field science continue during that Christmas period?
My idea is that we all take a day off. Now, obviously, like, estates people, plumbers, electricians, they're always on call, you know, so they'll always be doing something, little bits and pieces here and there. There might be a balloon that goes up, just like small scale stuff, but generally I just like to say to people, okay, like, no matter how hard we're working around it, we have to give ourselves a bit of a break. You know, we have to also spend some time and appreciate where we are and appreciate the team we're with and just enjoy it and just reset as well, because it's right in the middle of the season. So it's just a chance to just reset the batteries a bit, you know. Field flying is unlikely. I don't think we've got a plane then either, so... Although you never know. It's bus, so anything can happen, you know.
At Halley, you generally have quite a high proportion of returning staff that come back to the station. So that means for them, if they keep coming back, they keep missing their Christmases at home with their family. How is that dynamic? Is there scope in the Christmas period to be able to catch up with their family? And do you find that is something that can almost, although it's a very happy time, is there a bit of nostalgia and missing being at home?
There's a big chunk of the staff at Halley are returners, which is really great for people like me. It's my first time, and there's a few of others who it's their first time down south, first time in Antarctica, and it's really useful to, you know, have that knowledge and experience and expertise, and you know, they're able to impart that for us and help us settle in and things like that. So it just creates a really nice dynamic on station, I've found personally. With regards to Christmas, so yeah, like you mentioned, there'll be people here that are kind of used to missing Christmas, but it might not necessarily mean that makes it any easier for them. So I think, you know, one of the things that really helps is we've got great comms at the moment. So, you know, we're able to do this podcast, people can FaceTime home. So there's that really helps, I think, with the communication back home. There's little things like, another one of my roles actually is that I run the post office. So I've been opening it up this week so people can send Christmas cards and write, you know, it definitely won't get there for Christmas, but, you know, they can send it out, you know, any postcards, Christmas cards that they want to do. And again, just maintain that link back home. It's something I've dealt with quite regularly. So although not in Antarctica, you know, myself and a lot of people, both in the NHS and the military, have to work on Christmas Day. So I'm quite used to working on Christmas Day and having sort of a belated celebration a couple of days later or a week or so later. And my family and friends are used to that. But trying to create a nice environment at work, you know, with your colleagues who are all away from their friends and family and, you know, potentially children and things like that. So, you know, I think everything we're sort of doing, the decorations, the Secret Santa, the little clubs and activities and that people can dip in and out of, I think all helps just create a bit of a festive environment and just sort of like a group, like cohesion and things like that. So.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, I think like we definitely both miss people at home. That's for sure. Our family, friends, partners, pets, everything, you know. But the more effort I put into, it's going to sound a bit cheesy, but the more effort I put into other people having a good time, the more it makes it easier for me. Again, it's going to sound a bit cheesy, but it does feel, because there's so many returners here, and people all sort of know each other over the years, it becomes a little family here as well. So that sort of gives you that in a way, you know, because you really care about the people you're around. So there's not too much difference there, is there really, you know?
Would you say there's anything better than celebrating Christmas at Halley than there is celebrating Christmas at home?
Guaranteed snow?
Yeah. I think there's a few things, actually. Yeah, because, yeah, you never know at home. Sometimes you're just with your family. You might see your friends, blah, 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 blah. But here, like, it's guaranteed, as far as I'm aware and as far as I can make it happen, it's guaranteed going to be a good day, you know? And it's lots of things that people will do. You wouldn't do at home, so you wouldn't go and do the fun run. Like, people wouldn't make you coffee, like, when you're coming out of your room and, you know, you wouldn't be in the ice cave, you know, listening to some tunes and having a good time and, you know, all these things. You just wouldn't be doing that. So it is different and it's cool and it's, yeah.
Yeah, very unique experience.
Yeah.
Tell me your station capacity on Christmas Day. Is it 23 people?
Oh, no, it's going to be like 42, perhaps, I think. It's going to be full capacity. Yeah, it's going to be busy, very busy.
Wow.
That's so awesome. A lot of mouths to feed for the cooking stuff and, yeah, but the more the merrier, in my opinion. I'll just bring them in, like send as many as you want.
Is everybody there at the moment, or are there any more planes that will be coming in bringing people?
Yeah, so there's two more planes next week. There's a twin otter from Rotherham bringing a third field guide and a pilot, and also a Basler coming over from White Desert with like four extra staff. Two will go home, but like four or five will stay.
Yeah, we're 36 at the minute.
And I assume those planes coming in will take your post out, Danny. Is that how it works, that the Basler might take out your post? It goes to Rotherham and then on to the Falklands?
Yeah, it goes to, it'll go to Rotherham and then it goes to the Falklands and then Falklands to its, you know, final destination, UK and around the world.
Danny, as someone who's about to experience their first Antarctic Christmas, what are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, you know, the whole day, really. I think spending time with sort of my new friends, new colleagues here who, you know, what I really love about this station is how varied the people are. You know, we've got such a wide range of ages, backgrounds, you know, experiences. Whoever you sit down next to at dinner, you're going to have an interesting chat. Like, they're the coolest people I've honestly ever met. They're a really, really good group. Call my family and friends. They've sent me away with, I've got a couple of like cards and presents I just put in my bag that'll open on Christmas Day.
And Dan, looking back at your Christmases in Antarctica, is there a particular moment or memory that stands out for you?
Bird Island was fantastic. Everyone went out for a walk and we saw all the animals and one of the guys on the station, he very kindly offered to make Christmas dinner, which is lucky because I'm not very good at doing that either. So that was really special, actually, at Bird Island. And I think, actually, to be honest, last year at Halley, just having the feedback that people really enjoyed it, that was just really special for me. It's really nice if people can come to me and say, that was all right, that, Dan. So cheers.
Well, I also hope that you can do the same again for this year. And thank you both so much for your time and telling us about Christmas at Halley. And have a lovely day. Danny, enjoy your first Christmas. Dan, enjoy your fifth Christmas as well.
I hope you have a nice Christmas too, Nadia.
Yeah, thank you very much.
A very Merry Christmas to all those at Halley Research Station on the Brunt Ice Shelf, giving up their Christmas with family and friends to support Antarctic science. And a very Merry Christmas to all you listeners. See you in the next year for the continuation of Ice World. And the theme of the next episode is keeping the planes running. We'll speak to the air mechanics from Rotherham Research Station about their role in supporting deep field science and the movement of people across the continent. And if you enjoy Ice World, make sure you let us know. You can leave a review on the Ice World page or wherever you get your podcasts. And please do like and share the episodes. It all helps us reach new listeners. I'm Nadia Frontier, and thank you for listening.